Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go. It's a throwdown on Thursdays. It's the Black and Gold Pittsburgh podcast hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. My sidekick, a brother, a mentor, a friend, Ralph Williams in Pittsburgh, the Berg Boys, 347-205-9631. We see all the live listens and everything. Thanks for chiming in. An hour and a half later, we'll be back next week at a regular scheduled time, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock on the West Coast. You can catch this archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay that red carpet down, put the podium in its place, and hand off the mic to you, Ralph. How are you today, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing good, Mark. Thank you. Had an interesting day out and about, and other than that, it's great. Pouring down rain all day today, and it just stopped about 2 hours ago. So you can reach me at RalphWilliams737@gmail.com and my Facebook page, Ralph Williams, and also my Facebook page, Sports Corner, the way I see it in Wrestle Talk page as well. So that's how
well,
you can reach me.
I'll tell you, you break it down and you said it. The rain let up 2 hours ago. It was a torrential downpour in Pittsburgh. Did that must have carried over to St. Louis. The poor Pirates got waxed 9-0. It's only one game in 162. I'm not worried about it. I think this team can contend. I like the makeup. They just run into a buzzsaw. The Cardinals are one of the favorites, in the National League. And, this is a team that, if you opened up with maybe the Cubs or, the Nationals or maybe the Marlins, you'd be 1-0 now. But this is a Cardinal team that's tough. A preseason favorite, the prognosticators had him. You saw this game out there in Pittsburgh from St. Louis. What's your take on it? JT Brubaker had a rough outing. But what do you see with the Pirates? I know the big news was before the game. Ke'Bryan Hayes got the extension, $70 million, 8 years, ninth year's an option, the richest in Pirate history, and Pirate history is over 100 years. But first of all, the game today, and then we'll talk about Ke'Bryan Hayes' contract extension.
Okay, I wasn't very pleased with the game today. But, Mark, what you have to understand is, and you've been watching baseball as long as I have, the beginning of the year, the hitters get up on the pitchers. If you ever notice, a lot of these games are blowouts, some of them ahead of time. Once the pitchers start getting in the sink, and don't forget, spring training was cut short because of the lockout. So the Pirates, in their situation, really didn't get a lot of work in. They had to cut their work schedule down because of the lockout. They weren't allowed. There were some things they weren't allowed to do. So I believe that that's one of the problems right now. And we're going to find out what this team's made of as the season goes. Most people are saying 57, 58 wins, 62 wins. You know, we had that discussion last week with Smoke and Jim, and and all the other folks that I've spoken with here in Pittsburgh, they're all saying the only people that told me that they believe in the Pirates are I talked to some homeless people, and the homeless people told me that they think the Pirates are going to go to the World Series. So as far as that goes, I think it's going to, we'll see what happens.
Well, I look at prognosticators, and Caesar's Palace is more or less saying the Dodgers are going to win the World Series. And when I look at prognosticators, I don't think they look at the whole thing. They just look at, oh, this team spent $300 million. This team's going to the World Series. You got to really look at everything here. And that's why I disagree, with the Los Angeles Dodgers winning the World Series. You know, everybody looks at, 8 division titles that was snapped last year by the Giants. Everybody looks at 3 National League pennants and a Mickey Mouse World Series won by the Dodgers in 2020, playing 10 games. They haven't won a World Series in 3 decades, playing a full season, so I'm not buying stock in that city. But when you look at the prognosticators, 58 wins, 59 wins, these guys aren't the guys that are playing. These guys aren't on the field. These guys don't see everything. They're not in the trenches. So I take that with a grain of salt. But I will tell you this. When you look at Derek Shelton and that staff, these guys have grown every year. They play the teams tough. Sure, they get waxed today in St. Louis. You get an off day, you regroup, you come out Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and then you come home for the home opener against the Cubs. But, you know, I don't like to hear when people say, well, here we go again. Well, you know, if that's a negative frame of mind, you know, it's not so much the aptitude, it's the attitude that takes you places. And the Pirates got a good attitude. I think they can shock people. It's always been a surprise in Major League Baseball. You never see teams coming. Nobody had the Braves to win the World Series last year. You know, a few years ago it was the Marlins coming out of nowhere to make the playoffs and running the gamut. The Cardinals won 17 in a row last year during the regular season. So why can't it be the Pirates making some noise this year?
Well, you never know, Mark. You know, as I mentioned before, in 1998, Gene Lamont was the manager, and the Pirates had one of the lowest payrolls in the league, and they almost made it to a wild card for one game short. All they had to do was beat the Houston Astros, and at the time, the Astros were still in the National League, and they lost that game. But you're right. Derek Shelton says these players play hard. They give everything they can. They're just coming up short. What they have to do, Mark, right now, and I know the $300 million salaries are inflated. There's a lot of guys that don't deserve that kind of money. There's a lot of guys that underperform for that kind of money. And, you know, I think it's really tough. They need to get a salary cap in baseball for everyone to compete in a fair shake. Look at football. Look at the NBA. Look at the NHL. They all have salary caps. And if it wasn't for salary caps, the Penguins wouldn't even be able to compete. So, I mean, you know, it does a lot for baseball. But you know what? You never know. The Pirates could sneak in. They could surprise a few people, as you said. I used to say that every year. Last year, they made me wrong. I said they were going to go 500. They lost 62 games and won or lost 100 games, I'm sorry. Lost 100 games, won 62. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the Pirates. We'll see where they go. Derek Shelton's going to be in his third year this year. And, you know, he's had time to grow. He's had time to get to know his players. But like I said, spring training was short this year, so he's got some new guys and some things going on. You know, that Wolchick or whatever his name is, our new first baseman, he struck out twice today. So, I mean, you know.
But here's the thing now. With Ke'Bryan Hayes being signed, you know, you got O'Neill Cruz there. You got Diego Castillo. You got JT Brubaker. The commitments there, if they keep Reynolds has been rumored to be moving to San Diego and Miami and all this. There's a commitment in place to keep these guys in Pittsburgh. And, you know, Pittsburgh used to be looked at as, you know, a Triple-A team. You just go in there and they'll nurture the players and we'll go in there and raid them. But, you know, when you look at the Pirates, they got the seventh best minor league system in baseball. And that's pretty impressive. They had the number one pick in Davis last year. I like where they're going. This is going to be, you know, I think this is a team that's going to really, really circle the wagons and be a threat to a lot of teams in 2025.
Yes, indeed, Mark. And I got to say this, and I'm going to tell everybody I told them so. Okay, no one believed me when I said about Ben Cherington as a general manager. Everybody went, oh, they're going to be the same old Pirates. Oh, Bob Nutting this. Oh, Bob Nutting that. What part didn't you understand? My source told me this, and I know this to be a fact because my sources are good. Ben Cherington, Travis Williams, who's the president of the team, both of them told Bob Nutting, and I quote, "We will not put up with your nonsense. Stay out of it. Let us run the team." You know, and that's what he does. He stays out of it, Bob Nutting. All right, unless he, you know, you'll see him at a fundraiser here and there where he was handing out food boxes over at PNC Park when they were handing out food during COVID. So, I mean, but you haven't heard or seen Bob Nutting. He's staying out of it. He's letting Ben Cherington and Travis Williams run the team. And that's what he needed to do, was stay out of it. He said, only come to me if you need money. So now it looks like the Pirates are starting, Ben Cherington's starting to put the pieces of the puzzle together, as I had said he was going to. But yeah, I had all these naysayers burning up my comment section on my podcast, burning up my phone, burning up my Facebook page, telling me I don't know what I'm talking about. And now here we are, Ben Cherington, and now we have one guy signed. Let's get some more signed. Let's get Brian Reynolds signed. All he wants, he's making $675,000. All he wants is double what he's making. That's not a lot of money. Okay, you got Kevin Newman's been on a team for a while. Sign him long term. He's a good infielder, does pretty well with the bat. Get an established catcher in there. Get an established first baseman. And they have a lot of talent in the minors. They have seventh best system, like you said. So I think, and I said it, and now I'm starting to look good with this now. Well, about Ben Cherington, but nobody believed me. And everybody, well, no, they're going to be the same old Pirates. Maybe they might be. But guess what? Like you said, maybe in 2025, we might see a different Pirate team. We might see a different Pirate team next year or this year. Nobody knows right now. It's just the start of the season. Let the season get started. Let's see what goes on.
Right. Now, when you look at this, what are you basically seeing this team realistically do something? I mean, with the added, National League team for the playoffs, can the Pirates get that spot, or is it unrealistic in your mind?
No, I think they can get to that spot, as I said. But I'm going to tell you this right now. This year, they have to come up with something different. Claudio Rosano told me this, and he said this many times. Are you going to fight Hulk Hogan? If you were to fight Hulk Hogan, you think you could beat him? Or you'd have to find some way of beating him. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. You would have to kick dirt in his face. You'd have to kick him, in the privates. You'd have to, maybe carry brass knuckles or something. You'd have to do something different to beat him. Well, the Pirates have to do that this year. They have to play small ball, bunt, steal a base when they don't expect it. Do something. You have to do something to different than what you're doing. You can't just do basic things that the other team's going to do, because if you do, you're going to get blown out 9-0 every game.
Right. And that's what you got to watch out for. And, like we said before, the big problem here is, you've been dealt with opening up with the Cardinals. I mean, if it was somebody else, you'd get a jump on them and get fat real fast. But you start out strong, these are the cards that are dealt, so there's not much you can do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Mark. And I agree with you on that. Also, too, you have to look at coaches. They have to start bringing in some coaches that are that will be able to coach these players. You have certain coaches who can coach the best, and then you have certain coaches who can't coach at all, and they stink. And you've got some guys who can coach the mega stars, and you have some who can coach players like what we have. So that's what they need to do. They need to go out and get them kind of coaches as well in order for them to be successful.
Exactly, and hearing the reports out of Atlanta with Freddie Freeman, and I think it was Acuña Jr. having a little bit of difference last year, and then Freeman, moved on to the Dodgers, and sad, you're going to always see those kind of flare-ups if you're with somebody 162 days, 6 months, 7 months out of the year, 8 months. These things can flare up every now and then. Just talk it out, work it out. That's the key to everything. Hey, getting into the Penguins, they just got shut out tonight by the Rangers. Good luck trying to catch the Rangers. It looks like that series will be Pittsburgh and the Rangers opening up in New York. And there's got to be a little concern there in Pittsburgh with this, because the Penguins have lost three in a row to the Rangers.
They're going to have to really start getting with it, because they have I've said this many times, a long road to hoe. If they want to make it through the playoffs, people like Crosby, he had an injury, couldn't play today or tonight. They said it was non-COVID. So, maybe he's sick or something. This kind of stuff has to stop. The Pens got to stay healthy, because I'm going to tell you this right now, they have a big long road to hoe this year. There's no easy games. They're playing tough teams that are like the Rangers, the Carolina Hurricanes, teams like that. You got to have your A game every time. And, if they come in once in a while with a C or a B game, you might as well forget it. They're done. They have to play a perfect game every time. They have to be careful what they do. They have to watch themselves. They have to do – it's just like the Pirates. Got to do something different. Got to do something, you know, to get keep them off. You know, they can stop that running gun stuff. But, you know, the Penguins used to be able to outspeed everybody. But they don't have that speed anymore. And so, therefore, and when Crosby's down, you know, others have to pick it up. Gensel, Boyle, you know, Jeff Carter. All
well, here's the thing. This weekend is going to be kind of tough. It's a back-to-backer. The Capitals come in Saturday afternoon, and then the Nashville Predators come in Sunday. So, you know, you got a day to recoup after this loss in New York, and you got to prepare for a Capital team that's getting physical. It's chasing you down in the standings. And then you get, you know, the Nashville Predators. So, you know, you're not going to get a breather, you know, till after that when you get the Islanders in a home and home. So, I mean, when we talk next Thursday, you know, it's going to be a busy night in Pittsburgh. The Nationals will be opening up the four-gamer out there in PNC, and then the Islanders will be playing in PPG Arena.
Yeah, and also, too, this Saturday we have the Pitt spring game. We're going to see what Pitt's going to look like, you know, for this year. They have a new offensive coordinator. They have a new quarterback. They're supposed to be able to repeat the ACC championship. We'll find out there, you know, what's going on with Pitt. You got the Steeler draft. We have a lot going on in sports this month alone in Pittsburgh, and it's going to be an interesting scenario to see who the Steelers pick in the draft. They have a lot of needs that they need to go after, and, you know, there's still some free agents sitting out there that I think they need to sign. So we'll go from there with them. And, you know, the Pirates and the Penguins, Mark, you're right, it's going to be busy. It's going to be very busy.
Yeah. Talking about busy, it was busy this past weekend in Dallas, Texas. WrestleMania came to a close, getting ready for Los Angeles next year. A lot of people were saying Saturday was good, Sunday was okay. Depends on who you talk to. But I will tell you this, you could throw it first. What was your most disappointing match, and what was your favorite match? And then I'll throw 2 cents on it.
My most disappointing match was New Day versus Sheamus and his buddies. I thought that New Day could have put up a better fight. They got their butts handed to them. I thought that was the worst match. I got to tell you, Lashley versus Omos wasn't a bad match. And then also, the two women's matches were decent. And then they had the one for the tag team belts. That was pretty good. The match, you know, the Pat McAfee-Austin Theory match was crazy. Stone Cold, I thought that was okay. I mean, it wasn't a bad card. I mean, the first day was a little bit better than the second day. And then you had Seth Rollins versus Cody Rhodes, which was actually a really good match.
The Reigns one against Lesnar was a little disappointed to the fact that we saw this thing transpire in New York when Reigns beat the hell out of him and the blood was drawn. And then we saw, you know, the parade going through cities. And the disappointing one was when Monday Night Raw was in Pittsburgh. Brock Lesnar opened the show, and I thought maybe there would be a little confrontation leading up to WrestleMania. And it wasn't. And then he kind of did his thing. And then towards the end, Reigns came out and did his thing without Lesnar showing up. And then WrestleMania took place, and we've seen the distractions which came in, and we saw the way it played out. And here's where I thought the belts weren't coming off Reigns in no way, shape, or form, because the buildup in Los Angeles is Reigns and The Rock. And what better way now? You keep the belt, and you more or less, you know, get him to go. His next opponent's going to be Drew McIntyre. That's a given. They'll play that out for a while. They'll get into the summer. Somebody else will step up to the plate. And then you'll see the buildup to the Rock thing, and that's probably in November. You'll start to see a little bit of a buildup when you go into the new year, this is where we're going to get the lines drawn on that. Rock might come out in January or so and vice versa, and we'll start to see that. But I think the belts are going to be on Reigns for quite a while, up till WrestleMania at least, and then I think The Rock is going to beat the hell out of them.
Yeah, that could be the case. The only interesting scenario here, Mark, is I don't think The Rock wants to do anything full-time, so I don't think it'll be for the belts anyway. And now that Roman Reigns has both belts, he can be on. He's going to be on both shows. They've unified the belt, which I'm interested to see how this is going to work out. And also, one thing I wanted to let you know, too, Triple H is back with NXT, and I'm interested to see what he's looking at here. Because, you know, Vince McMahon made a bunch of changes, got rid of guys, and, you know, made a whole heap of changes. So let's see what he does with NXT, if he puts it back where the way he had it, or if he keeps it the way it is. And
well,
you know,
and the other thing is here, too, and this is going to be an interesting one, and we've seen this thing play out before. We thought when Wyatt started this thing up, you know, bring The Undertaker, get Kane involved. We really have a dark side with the Paul Bears and all that. I don't quite understand this Edge and Damian Priest. This thing is starting to look like the Brood, and I'm looking around trying to see if Gangrel's coming back. Who's jumping in this thing? Alexa Bliss was a no-show at WrestleMania. I know she's getting married. Is Rhea Ripley going to come into this group? Is Finn Balor? This group is really... kind of bizarre in a lot of ways. It's the only thing that's solidifying here is Edge is not going away and being a part-time wrestler now. He's in it for the long haul. But this group that's been put together, it kind of reminds me of the Brood.
Yeah, absolutely. Gangrel is wrestling in MLW. That's where he is, in NWA. Okay, that's where Gangrel is. Well, here, I have five names that I saw today that may be in Edge's new faction. Rhea Ripley, as you mentioned, Tommaso Ciampa, T-Bar, the Viking Raiders, and Von Wagner from NXT. Those are the folks that they think are probably going to be in Edge's new faction. And I'm quite unhappy with the Bloodline because I was told Naomi and Nia Jax were supposed to join the Bloodline, to increase them. I'm surprised they haven't increased at all. And then you have another cousin, Roman Reigns, coming through NXT and through the family and all that. So I'm surprised he hasn't joined yet. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But with that faction, I'm surprised Edge is back like this. I thought he would just continue to be a part-time wrestler. But it looks like he's back for it, like you said, you know.
Well, not only that, the whole thing with the big disappointment is – and these guys sucked, and I was never a big fan of this guy anyhow, Otis. This whole Alpha Academy's got to go, too. That's a joke. I mean, the problem, and I was on a Tampa show yesterday, praise to Peter Blake down there in Tampa being part of that thing on Wednesdays. But when we were talking about this whole thing with WWE, and we're down to the last six minutes of the show, and rather than draw it all out, we'll talk about it next week a little more, too. But the problem with the WWE is growing up, you know, we used to see the Intercontinental Champion. We used to see Rick Rude. We used to see, you know, God, the Honky Tonk guys that were pushed. You know, you had tag teams, the Rougeaus, Harlem Heat, the Steiner Brothers. These days, there's only like one tag team or two tag teams pushed. Same thing with an Intercontinental. One main eventer, and I think this whole thing started when Cena came in, because it was Cena and everybody else. And, you know, I've known these factions, and let's face it, the Shield was the best. Nexus was probably number two. But all these other factions that come through here are complete jokes. They don't last long.
No, not at all. And you're right about Otis and Gable. I don't like that team. I can't stand Gable to begin with. I think he should have tried another. They should have tried another angle. They had Otis with his other buddy, and I can't remember his name, Victor or somebody, I believe his name was. And he ended up getting fired or released. And I know Otis won Money in the Bank, but they should have pushed Otis to keep that and get his shot at a title. I mean, you know, they gave him the money, he got the Money in the Bank briefcase. And then Miz took him to some kangaroo court that they set up, and Miz ended up with the Money in the Bank. And I just thought, what, you know, if you're going to get, the guy's going to get this, at least give him a shot at the title at least once. You know, I mean, he could always lose and turn it in. It's happened. Cena, Baron Corbin. I mean, you know, so it can happen. I'm very angry about how they did that with Otis.
Well, and not only that, The Miz comes and goes. We've got a reality show. The other guy's got a reality show, Corey Graves with Carmella. He was supposed to get married tonight in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. But, you know, I just don't understand. You know, it's a push of one or two, three, four guys, and this has been the downfall of Vince McMahon. And, you know, people can say what they want. I'm going to throw my opinion on it because, you know, everybody has an opinion. I think this is the downfall. I was with XPW for 4 years, and I saw, you know, how they marketed their guys. You start marketing two, three guys, and if you have a stable of 30, 26 other guys are going to say, what the hell am I doing here?
And that's what's happening. This was going on before COVID. They weren't using people right, and guys were getting upset, wanted out of contracts. And now, I've said this many times, and I find this to be true. Vince McMahon better beware, because I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of wrestling or a lot of wrestling organizations out here. The independents are coming on strong in Pittsburgh. They're selling out like water. So because of the closeness and the, you know, you can go to a meet and greet, you can get an autograph from these guys.
Yep.
Where if you go to Raw, you have to actually try to, you know, do whatever to try to get an autograph. So what I'm saying to you is that Vince McMahon better beware. The best thing he could do right now, and I've said this numerous times, step away, let Triple H, Stephanie, Shawn Michaels, people who know and have been here to run this company, instead of screwing these people, like William Regal. Now he's with AEW, okay? I mean, you screwed a bunch of guys that you could have kept there, and now Sanjay Dutt now is in AEW or ROH or wherever. You know, he's there now. So, I mean, he was with WWE doing security. And then, you know, they screwed him over. So, I mean, you can't do this to people. And Vince McMahon is good at doing it, and he's been doing it for the last 3 or 4 years, and he's got to stop.
Yep. Totally agree with it. And props to Captain Jet out there in New York chiming in, listening in. Everybody, the Pittsburgh State loaded up. We got the 2-1s. We got a lot of 303s are in here. A lot of area codes jumping in as we wrap this show up.
That's great, man. Ralph, that is super. I'm happy for everybody listening.
Yeah, and let everybody know, you know, what we're going to talk about next week, and how can people get a hold of you?
Next week we're doing sports. We're going to be talking about the draft as it gets closer and closer. We're going to be talking about the Pirates some more, Penguins, and you know, so, and we're going to be talking at least about the three main teams. And,
well, we'll also be talking about
then,
the USFL. Pittsburgh Maulers will be starting play on that weekend, too.
Yes, they start next weekend. I have a show here Wednesday night, 4 p.m., live on Facebook starting Wednesday afternoon, this coming Wednesday, 4 o'clock, to get you started with the season of the Maulers. I'm the only person right now doing strictly a Mauler show in Pittsburgh. No one else is doing anything like this at all. So I urge everyone that YouTube Live, 4 p.m. on Wednesday, Mauler Talk, USFL Talk. I have the schedule for the TV. I have the roster for the Maulers. We can talk about USFL, the coaches. There's some unique coaches
so
there.
So let me ask you before I hate to interrupt you, are they opening in Pittsburgh for their first game, or are they on the road?
No. All games are being played this year at Legion Field in Alabama. And as I mentioned when we were talking earlier before we came on, all games are being played at Legion Field and another stadium close by. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but they are playing there as well, all games this year. Now the championship, the playoffs, and the championship game will be at the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio.
Wow.
Yeah, if they go into next year, all games will be played at your home city or your away city or wherever. You know, each team will have their own home base. That's if they get into next year, Mark. We have to see what this year brings.
Yep.
I mean,
okay, as we wind it up, that's Ralph.
You know, so we'll see.
Ralph's bringing it down. You know where to find him, doing the Mahler Report and talking Mahler's football, USFL style. Check that out. And as for me, out here getting ready for another show at the bottom of the hour, Speak Your Mind, doing one out of Phoenix, Arizona. Patty Blylem and Joe Rosenson. Till next week, catch this archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to, powered now by Mancini Media. Have a blessed
one,
guys.
Thanks
for tuning in.
Have a good one. Safe. Thank you.
You too.